This FCS College Football Picks Week 10 and NASCAR edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at winbet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to free daily video picks from SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you by Riffer. Riffer is your home for many podcasts from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Subscribe to our Riffer channel today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Riffer. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/RIFFR.
This is Jerry Glanville, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother.
Fucking shine box.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer Dog?
Oh well, it's happening, Sean. We're back. The FCS playoffs are almost here. That's not why I'm excited, Sean.
Why are you excited?
A little bit of a heater at the track today. One of the perks of full-time sports job is horse betting.
Yes. Check it out on our Instagram Sports Gambling Podcast. Been streaming Kramer reacting to betting horses just live.
Randomly screaming. Come on, number one.
Request my newspaper so he can roll it up and smack it in his hand. Very true story. Going full New Jersey there. Joining us as always to talk college football, aka FCS football, Colby Dant, aka the Dantabase. What's happening, Colby?
I mean, look, I'm on the same page, man. It's like I never went to a summer camp, but this is what it feels like. I just had a shit ton of candy. I'm drinking a lot of Coors Light and I'm learning about the wing eating tea offense.
Eating whatever we want.
And the origin of the wing tea offense I've been studying about for an hour. We watched a bunch of random games.
Colby, we need to do a documentary, just Colby in the workforce, because I'll look over at Colby and I'll be like, what are you doing? You go, I'm learning a lot about Bill Parcells. Like, okay, what is this for? Oh, nothing. I just want to learn more about Bill Parcells.
I went down a rabbit hole.
Are we creating any content about Bill Parcells? No.
Yes.
No,
why? Yes. You're down the road. Look, you never know where that will turn. I didn't know he coached basketball at Army with Bobby Knight and had Coach K playing for him.
That's a great nugget.
Yeah. Great nugget. Knowledge is key, Sean. And look, I mean, my alcohol dealer hit me up and he said, I hadn't talked to you in a couple of weeks. And I said, dude, I've been working over at the studio, man. I've just been sitting here eating Twizzlers and fucking drinking Coors Light.
Yes. Right? We got some Coors Light in the studio.
And if I could go, I know you want to get to the Coors Light in the studio, Sean, but before we get to the Coors Light in the studio, back to the Colby in the workplace. Cause we didn't do it enough justice. Like what Sean is referring to is like coming into the room when you have zero context of what's going on. And Colby is just listening to George W. clips. And I go, Colby, what are you doing? I'm tracking something. Yeah. I'm tracking that easy to see a tide turn.
Yeah, clip. Man. Yes. Dan Marino and his dynamic.
As
wife.
If he's a PI.
Yeah.
A sleuth on a chase, a hound through the forest.
Look,
you know, me laughing at him, he was successful in tracking that clip. So the scent, the pick Dundee tracking abilities.
That's expand, not a pick. This is a pick.
Expand onto the neural networks of the internet.
The database mind, it goes all over, man.
Right? I apologize, Sean.
No, let's do it. We're going to talk FCS football week 10. And our buddy Rod is going to give us a ring.
Okay.
Talking NASCAR as well.
Yes.
But before we get to that, let's do it. Cue the music. Win bet. That's right. You want to win big? Head over to the winbet.com. W-Y-N-N to win big. Oh, man. You want that feeling in Las Vegas, like you're in an actual sports book, but you want it in the palm of your hands? Get it done over at winbet.com. Download that app today. Get a risk-free offer up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Download that app today. They got it all. Promos, odds boost, parlay boost. It's all happening over at WinBet. We got some FCS action, of course, daily NBA, MLB, even a little bit of NASCAR, all over at winbet.com. And again, head over there, download that app today, get involved and get in on that risk-free bet up to $500. Let's go, baby. All right. Couple NFL things to get to before we hop into FCS. Well, one, we are working as we're even taping this podcast. There is a mock draft, a live mock draft going on in our Slack channel between us, a bunch of SGPN contributors, you know, some hashtag DGens only listeners, everyone representing a different team. They are picking, you know, each team picking one pick for the first round, sending in their audio clips of the first round. And then Kramer and I are going to be doing a podcast Sunday night where we reveal our big board, the SGPN mock draft. A lot of fun. Kramer already got his pick in for the Giants. Colby got the Jets. I got my pick in for the Eagles. Very excited to unveil that. So make sure you stay tuned Sunday night. Check that out.
Kind of glad we don't have the 12th pick despite that news that we could have got Sam Darnold to the Niners.
Is one of the pieces of news I wanted to hit on before we went down the FCS football rabbit hole. And that is, there is a news story that the New York Football Jets turned down.
No, please, 12th stick. Stop. No one calls them the New York Football Jets. Well, right. There's no other Jets. They're just the Jets. It's the New York Football All Rise Giants. Continue with the trade rumors.
Yes. The Jets supposedly. Now this is again according to some online news there, supposedly turned down the 12th pick overall. The 49ers wanted Kyle Shanahan wanted Sam Darnold, offered the Jets the number 12 pick overall, and the Jets supposedly turned it down.
And look, at first I was furious, just like any Jet fan should be when they hear that. But then thought, holy shit, we've been so bad at drafting in the first round. Maybe it's a genius play. We go into the later rounds. You know what I mean?
Call these galaxy branding it.
So
the 12th pick is too easy for Sam Darnold. You want him next level and then get a second and a fourth.
No. That's what I'm talking about. We suck at the second round too. I'm thinking maybe that fourth rounder, maybe that fourth rounder is going to be the next Broadway Joe.
Was Joe a fourth round pick?
No, he wasn't. But he was actually the first pick. But my point is that you know, we've had. I mean, come on. I mean, how many first and second round? I mean, we've been so bad in the second round, but the first round, whether it was Vernon Golson, whether it was Mark Sanchez, whether it was Sam Darnold. I mean, I can go on and on and on. The kid, that D Milner, the cornerback from Alabama, we just can't draft in the first round. I mean, Johnny Mitchell, you can go back to those days. Roger Vick, we took a fullback in 87. You know what I mean?
That was another rabbit hole Colby went down, the Roger Vick rabbit hole.
And it's coming out as content, baby.
Yes, it is. Colby, now part of the rumor was that Zach Wilson, supposedly they weren't sold on Zach Wilson's shoulder, and they wanted to see him in his pro day before they took the. I think even if you're not sold on Zach Wilson, if someone offers you the 12th pick overall for Sam Darnold, you take that trade.
Yes.
Let's not. I mean, there's a lot of shoulder strain on the soak. So perhaps the Jets were maybe using the soak analytics to realize they need to deep dive on this.
But it's not like Darnold's like some prized piece or something. All right. Take the 12th pick.
No, I mean, imagine you took him second overall.
Third, I think, right?
Yeah. So you're only losing nine draft slots for whatever, 3 years of seeing whether Sam Darnold sucks.
And look, the way you've been drafting the quarterback since say Ken O'Brien, maybe you just grab that 12th pick and you draft the QB at 3 and 12 and say, fuck it. One of them's going to pan out.
Yes.
And you have the Seahawks later in the first round. They could potentially get three quarterbacks in the first round and just take their chances at one of them being good.
I like Colby just playing the odds game, right? That's how you're successful in the draft. Get more picks. So why not take more quarter? I think what are we seeing in our culture? We're seeing everything shortening up, right? So the attention span on someone that sucks, you know, would shorten up too. So why not have a little bit of a road? You're getting them for 5 years. There's no way a guy can suck for 5 years like Blake Bortles anymore. Whoa, and buddy. Stick around. I don't think we'll ever see
don't
a Blake
say
Bortles
that the Jets
again.
Will defy the odds, right?
Anyway, that's not this isn't actionable betting advice.
No. So. You know what it is? Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it really isn't at this point because it's already come and gone. Okay, we're gonna transition.
Sorry, I breaking news, please.
Sure.
This just came to my attention. We've now in the SGPN mock draft we were referring to, we've now had back to back Hokies in the first round. Mm. This only makes Justin Fuente look better. What the fuck?
Multiple first round picks. I'm still couldn't put together a decent.
I'm both happy and sad.
And somebody did they hack into my mock draft that I'm building? Because I think I might have had the same situation going on there.
We are copying the
dance. They're growing sentient. All right, let's get to it. We got the Colby Dance six pack, but breaking news.
Oh, more breaking news.
The Colby Dance six pack, Colby, and it's nothing to do with your performance, although. It's been solid. It is now being renamed the Coors Light Six Pack. Let's go, baby!
Oh man, I mean,
hopefully you don't mind moving aside for the Rocky, the keep cold activated cans.
Keep the silver bullet and the Twizzlers coming.
You're losing the naming rights because I suck, Colby.
No, and you want to talk about Kramer? We may as well call him the Coors Light Mountains because he is ice cold. 3-18-2 against the spread in your last 23 college football picks.
That's mean.
How does that happen?
You could have at least put some work into the joke and call me the cooler.
I see you turning blue in front of us,
Sean.
Ryan.
You literally. I mean, you call yourself a professional writer. Come on, bro. Yeah. Look, sometimes you have to look beyond what the reality appears to be and realize, right? You guys are sitting here playing Connect Four with each other with your minor college football. No. What am I doing?
Next
proving
level.
The ultimate point at how silly minor college football is that I go out of my way to just prove to you I can pick the opposite every week and be wrong.
It is really impressive.
I dare you to find any tout that is this deep into it that he is reverse jinxing his own picks to the tune of what's the percentage, Sean?
Fading. If you just blindly faded Ryan Real Money Kramer right now, you would be hitting at a whopping 71%.
Just like I'm fading minor college football.
Well, you better watch like what you say psychology. Because Richmond is on Virginia Tech's schedule this year. I can't wait.
That'll be great.
I can't wait until they pull off the
comes
upset.
Comes into Blacksburg, pulls up the upset. All right, for those keeping score at home, I am sitting at 37-24-6, a whopping 60.66 percentage winning percentage.
No one's keeping score.
Colby above 500 as well, 31-30. Colby hitting 67% of the locks, 50% of the dogs, 67% of the bonus locks. I'm hitting 71% of the locks, 42% of the dogs. My bonus locks have been dog shit though, 17%. And Kramer, you know, fun to have on the show, obviously.
But what are we doing with this bracket challenge? We got to think up something because this is the final week of the
FCS
regular
playoffs
season.
Right around the corner.
A real playoff.
How many of you guys got your lock right last week? Just asking for a friend.
How many of us got our locks right? I got my lock right
last week.
Oh no, I got my lock was canceled because of COVID. Uh-huh. I hit my dog though. You did hit your lock, Kramer. Congratulations. Heating up. Look out.
Bobby Petrino, Old Faithful. Hot. Fucking road rash
face.
We
felt so strongly about the Northern Iowa rivalry spot. I got greedy, played it on the money line. My angles were strong as fuck where I was right. Now the rest of the time.
I like that theory. My angles were strong when they were correct angles.
100% of the games that was right.
Let's get into it. Week 10 college football action. Holy Cross heads to beautiful Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. Saw Dave Matthews concert there years ago. Bucknell at home, a 6.5 point dog. Two Holy Cross.
I'm just not sure if that's a good talent or a bad talent. Well, I don't know, Sean, if he's a fan or not.
Please, so, you're drinking Coors Light. You're talking college football. Let's not bring up Dave. I mean, I like Dave Matthews too, but
no. Okay, different so, vibe. So you're using it in a positive way. Different. I wasn't sure.
You know, Dave was like the theme song of ESPN college football for like a couple of seasons.
Oh no, the ants marching. Nothing says college football like ants marching, baby. All right. This is the first ever Patriot League championship game. Winner goes into the FCS playoffs. We got to figure out what kind of bracket challenge we're doing. Holy Cross 2-0, Bucknell 2-1, and our buddy Connor Degenhart.
Yes.
The Holy Cross quarterback was replaced in the third quarter of the last game. Rest He's 128 peace. Yards on the season. Somehow hasn't slowed down Holy Cross, who's 2-0, undefeated.
You don't change horses midstream. This is a veteran quarterback. I understand he's averaging just 64 yards per game. And look, last game, I want to bring up these stats. 5 of 12, 37 yards, right? 5 of 12, 37 yards, but they put 34 points on the board. You can't fade Degenhart now. Look, Coker, their wideout, has got 33 yards receiving. I understand he got benched very late, but the backup quarterback only threw for 30 yards. So, I mean,
they don't need pass where they're going. Sounds like you're taking Holy Cross, Colby.
I am. Well, actually, no, I can't. I can't with a team that averages what? 64 yards in the air. Colby, I got to fade Degenhart. I want to take it so bad. I want to take it so bad, but I think you got to take the points. Offense is bad.
And both these teams have pretty solid defenses. What do we got? Holy Cross has three defensive players on the first all team Patriot League defense, but Bucknell has four. They actually beat Lehigh 6-0. And I know you're thinking, Lehigh's offense sucks. That's not much of an accomplishment. True. But I think Bucknell's defense is good enough to keep them in this game. And I like them as the home dog catching 6.5.
Definitely, man. Look, Holy Cross. I love you, Degenhart, but this is kind of an outlier. Last game, they won by double digits, scored 34 points.
Yeah.
But they gave up 526 yards of offense. They only had 300.
Very small sample size handicap in this Patriot League championship game. Really? What the fans want to know is, Ryan, what are you on?
I didn't think I would go 38 years and never see Lehigh play football and then watch Lehigh play football. And then just realize that the Patriot League is high school. It's 5+ high school football,
right? No need to go there. There were some fourth down stops in that last Lehigh game that got my football mojo going.
I went over to my podcast app where I've already smashed the subscribe button on the College Experience, and what I learned
gave it a 5-star review
from the Better Dant is that I would be silly to lay the points with Holy Cross here. Mm. I would be absolutely out of my mind to lay the points with a quarterback. While the name fits, seems like he's on brand. Degenhart. I appreciate that, but I don't know if the Crusades were all good. So we're going to go with Bucknell plus the 6.5.
Oh no.
This is dangerous, Sean, but last week he did the same when we won the first game with him backing us, but he's throwing shots at Lehigh football. They have been playing football since 1884. The Giants just came around and what? As the Titans in 1925. Get out of here. Lehigh is football, motherfucker.
The office is paying off. Colby's in here doing deep dive researching what people really want to know. Moving on to the SWAC. Alabama A&M laying 4.5 as they head to the road to a different part of Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, to square off against Alabama State. When you think Alabama football, this is what you think. Alabama State versus Alabama A&M to decide who is, I don't know, one of the top five teams in Alabama college football. Colby, what do you got here? What are we doing? Are we laying it? Now, again, I prepped for the Davidson game, which was a last second COVID scratch. So I'm swimming here a little bit. What are you doing? Alabama A&M, Alabama State. What are we like?
I wasn't going to tell you guys about the Davidson game, but then I remembered we got rid of the COVID game, which really bothered me. So I said, fuck you guys. Right. But no, on this game, here we are, Alabama State, the Hornets against the Bulldogs of A&M. And Alabama State's been a solid team for like the past two or three years. But A&M, man, they only played one game out the gate. They had COVID problems. They played last week against Jackson State, and I'm sitting there
Yeah.
In the studio here, watching like 30 games at once.
Yeah.
And I keep seeing this Bulldogs quarterback. Game. Akil Glass just firing the laser all over Jackson State. This kid turns out he's on the NFL radar. He might get drafted. I'm going to win that bet against you guys. And I mean, he's a stud. I think A&M's going to get the win, but give me the home dog. Give me Alabama State and the Hornets.
Two things. One, firing the laser all over. Yeah, like pew pew pew. Alabama State, was that not the Nick Cannon school in Drumline?
I have never seen
in
that
the
movie.
SWAC.
Yeah,
I think it's probably a fictional school, but I want to say it was Alabama State. Maybe I'm misremembering. Surprised to see you on the other side. Wait, you're laying the points?
No,
he's taking the home dog.
Oh, okay, then I'm with you.
Damn because it. Sean,
because. Again, Nick Cannon, I believe Drumline here, but in the SWAC, it's a what have you done for me lately league, and they you know they look good, they looked
both,
all right.
Both these teams are solid.
They looked all right.
No, I'm going
Alabama State is the more fit team right now.
You guys are crazy.
This is a bad number.
Alabama A&M laying 4.5 on the road. I mean, Colby nailed it. I mean, he gave out great points and then took Alabama State. Alabama A&M, they played two games, 83 points. That's all I need to see.
And that quarterback Glass in two games,
he's legit.
He's thrown for 712 yards. 10 yards of completion, 58%, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's on cloud 9, Sean. He's definitely grabbing that tapping into the Rockies.
It's got that Rocky Mountain high. All right. Southeast Louisiana, Southern Illinois, the Salukis at home in Carbondale, Illinois, laying 5.5 points. Colby, we were breaking down some Southeast Louisiana film. By that, I mean, you were watching the highlights and I kind of had my eye on them. What do you make of the Southeast Louisiana team? And, do they have a chance to go in? They're catching 5.5 against the Salukis. What's the play here?
This one's interesting because this is a game that was just added about a week ago. This is essentially the BYU Coastal Carolina game of the FCS season. and
great reference.
Thank you for that.
And both these teams in the top 25 fighting for an at-large bid this year, guys, they downsized the playoffs because so many opt-outs. So we only have a 16 team playoff, 10 at large and then six buying for the final spot or six at large and 10 conference winners. I can't talk.
It's all right,
cool. But Southeast Louisiana ranked higher. So they really have a decent shot if they can pull this game off. This is why it's a playoff game. It's fantastic. I think the play here is, I was on my FCS show on the College Experience taking Southern Illinois, but the more I thought about it, I think Southeast Louisiana. I watched that film, Sean. Cole Kelly, former Arkansas quarterback. This guy can fire the laser all over the field too, Kramer. So give me the Golden Lions.
Kramer, what about you? Southeast Louisiana, Southern Illinois, what are we doing here?
Southern Illinois, just better team. Yes. They're getting cute with the spread here. You know, I'm just copying
Stone
someone else's picks this week. No, I think the Saluki shit. I mean, this is a touchdown. You're getting short of a touchdown.
Stone Lebonowitz is their quarterback.
No, I know. Okay. But is he really any good? The truth of Stone Lebonowitz?
He's a legend.
We want him to be better than he is.
He's
right?
better than DJ Hart.
He's that chick that you hooked up with in college. You didn't see her before she left and it was dark.
And then you're telling her she's a five-star recruit.
And then you showed up for that date. And you didn't recognize her because it's that bad. No offense to bad, but it was that bad. So
offense to ugly people. All right, I'm all over Southeast Louisiana. I mean, they just keep putting up tons of points on the road. 45 in a loss to Incarnate Ward. They put up 52 against Nicholls State. I'm a little worried because beating Nicholls State, I don't know what trophy it was, but they were running around with the field. The guy was pumping the trophy in the other team's face. Felt a little bit like a Super Bowl victory. But the fact that Southeast Louisiana can put up this many points and then you're giving them another 5.5 points, to me, the Salukis, their season may have peaked by beating North Dakota State at home. To me, when they did that, that was like, okay, we have something to hang our hat on for this season. And they've kind of been hot and cold ever since. So I like Southeast Louisiana plus 5.5.
Waving a trophy in someone's face is very it's much fun BDE. So I'd rather be on the side of BDE here.
Long Cox.
I mean, you guys are in a good spot. You're on the opposite side of me. 2v1.
2v1. Hey, better than Vegas. You wanna look at some BDE? Just check out all the people giving out free picks over on Better Than Vegas. Buddy XFL Jim. They're calling him a first ballot Hall of Famer over on Better Than Vegas. Tons of fun videos, tons of great picks from the SGPN crew every day. New free daily video picks. Again, it's like YouTube, but if YouTube was just degenerate gamblers giving out free picks, what more do you want? We got Boston Capper giving out some RBC Heritage picks there.
It's a baby fucking
may or may not man. Have been smoking a cig while giving out golf picks.
Is that against the rules?
No, there are no rules over on Better Than Vegas, except we're better than YouTube. So check them out. Better Than Vegas. Make sure you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That'll take you right to our profile. Hit that follow button so you never miss a pick. Delaware, Colby's Blue Hens off to a great start this season, laying 6 as they head to Villanova, Pennsylvania. Villanova, a 6-point home dog. I learned this about a Villanova alumni this week, Brian Westbrook. I didn't realize he tore his ACL twice in college. And Andy Reid still believed in that man enough to draft him relatively high in the draft.
And that's before the medicine of like you're back in 9 months. Like that was a full one. I mean, that's almost Frank Gore-esque with like blowing out both the knees.
Well,
like
yeah,
that.
And Brian Westbrook, a true Philadelphia Eagle, not afraid to come back from an ACL injury. He would never request a trade.
So
unlike Ginger Judas, aka Carson Wentz, this essentially has become a play-in game for the FCS playoffs. But Delaware, I mean, they're a machine, Colby. 30 plus points in all 4 games. The defense has been top of the league. I mean, but on the other side, Delaware, 81 points in the last 2 games, both top 25 teams. This should be a great game. I assume you're going to lay the 6.5 with Delaware, but this could be a tough spot.
Well, is Delaware in if they lose?
If they lose, they still might get in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah. Look, they're not going to lose because Danny Rocco's got this bunch playing great ball. Villanova
Rocco
haven't really passed the eye test to me. And Delaware,
Villanova is though 2-1, ranked 10th in the country,
and they've beaten them 8 times in a row. But a lot of that was without Danny Rocco, former Richmond coach. I think he's came over. He's brought a new culture to Delaware University, and look, this is when they get off the Schneid here. This is where they get it done.
A Schneid
Delaware
game.
-6. My Blue Hens. Look, they did blow my cover last week. Delaware State got a touchdown with like a minute left to blow my -25.
I've told the story before of the guy who played linebacker for us in high school and went on to become a punter in Delaware.
Nice.
I just remembered the story that he was telling in the locker room about how he's looking at possible places to play college. But he had to work on his SATs because he goes, you know, I'm not really good with math and stuff. And we go, well, what'd you get on the SATs? He goes, I got a 620. And they go, I go, a 620 in math is really good. Now this is when it was, you could get 800 in math, 800 in verbal. And he goes, no, 620 combined. So don't mean to insult the great College of Delaware, but that guy got a scholarship. Later worked at Sears Tire and Auto where he was threatened someone and threatened to break someone's face, let go of Sears Tire and Auto.
I thought they'd back him.
He said it was all political.
Administrative leave.
Yeah. But nice guy.
How'd it work out for Sears, huh? They're done, aren't they?
All that being said, I'm taking Villanova in the 6 points. This is a winning it in for Villanova. And you're giving them 6 points. Delaware has looked great, but I think in a division game, I like to take the home dog.
Coming off that rivalry spot,
Justin Covington for Villanova. He's been a beast. 4 touchdowns in their latest win.
And QB Daniel Smith, carry, by the way.
Yeah, I think Covington. They're going to be able to control the ball enough to keep them in this game. It feels like a field goal game, so I'll take the home dog, Kramer.
Yeah, I mean Villanova's not look. Listen, the hierarchy of East Coast trash or whatever you want to call it, you got to look at the situation between Philly and Delaware, right? It's like a river runoff, right? And Delaware is the runoff area.
Yeah,
you don't come from Delaware to Philly and walk into their house. Plus, I think Delaware is in, even if they lose this game. I think the urgency is going to be on Villanova's side of the ball, and I knew Sean would take Villanova. So I'm joining him on this one. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, I mean, you're obviously you have a very strong, powerful schneid that you keep throwing on the podcast.
Love it.
The cooler, ice cold.
You love my schneid.
Okay. Mercer heads to Homewood, Alabama, where they will face off against Samford for a SoCon special. Samford laying 5.5 at home. Colby, again, Mercer, possibly an at-large spot for Mercer. What are the playoff implications here?
Yeah, the last projections I saw had Mercer as the last team in. Now that can all change.
Where's Joe Lenardi for this bracket?
Yeah, we need Joe Lenardi for this bracket, because especially when it go down to 16, it's really hard to figure out where they're going to go. I think they just want to. I think the Mercer play probably geographical, because I don't understand how they had Villanova as the first team out, Mercer in. You know, pending that they lose to pending that Nova loses to Delaware. Now Mercer, though, red hot of late, 3 games in a row, I believe they've won, or maybe even 4. But at the same time, you have Samford, who's a similar story. They've gotten red hot all of a sudden, won 3 games in a row.
Putting up a ton of points too.
And Chris Hatcher, their head coach, you know, former Mike Leach guy at Valdosta State. So I'm on Samford here. You're telling me you're going to get some points in Samford?
No, well, Samford's laying. I'm sorry.
I'm on Mercer here. Really? You're going to get some points and Mercer. So
okay, Mercer, taking the 5.5.
This is going to be like a field goal game. So both teams red hot. Give me Mercer in the points.
Kramer.
Yeah.
I mean, I really enjoyed the suspense of Colby's pick right up until the end. Look, I'm a SoCon specialist. If you want to fade any pick on the card, don't fade this one. Samford, lay the points.
Oh no.
Lock it up.
This is what I'm doing, man. I keep leaning into the team you think I'm going to take. Sprinkles fairy dust on Kramer. He takes that.
Colby
team,
is making a great handicap for the team I'm on, and then he like just swings around to the other side and picks.
I'm going Samford -5.5 as well. Mercer, even though they've had a little win streak there, they've struggled to put up points on the road. Now they had one game recently where they put up 35, but the two road games before, only 14 points per game. And again, Samford is just red hot scoring wise. And I think 5.5 number, not big enough to scare me off. Now we're talking military football. The Citadel heads to Lexington, Virginia to square off against VMI. Again, another matchup here in the SoCon. VMI laying 5.5. Colby, what are you doing here?
VMI has been one of my darlings to watch this year. Now this is a compelling matchup because you have the Citadel, who's getting hot at the right time. They run the triple option, going up against the air raid and VMI. VMI's star quarterback tore his ACL, out for the year. They look like they were about to walk away with the conference. They got upset by East Tennessee State 2 weeks ago. Then it looked like East Tennessee State was about to run away with the conference. They got upset last week. VMI had the week off, so they've gotten time to, you know, basically evaluate what they did wrong. Seth Morgan, their freshman quarterback, has been playing his ass off. But this team's banged up, but I think there's something. They've never made the playoffs, guys. They haven't won a conference championship since the 70s. Give me VMI minus the points. Seth Morgan going to overcome it and take the key debts to the FCS playoffs.
I mean, I like the angle. I think this is, you know, this is one of those generational teams for the VMI squad. Fuck the Citadel.
I hate because last time he was on VMI, that's when they lost. They were undefeated. He backed VMI. I mean,
the problem is the Citadel is one of the triple option teams, which minor college football, it is a very successful offensive system.
In any form of football, but
the Citadel's also like kind of a bad guy situation, you know. So we got to go good guy with VMI.
Yeah, I'm leaning. I'm really worried about taking another pick that Kramer is on. VMI -5.5. I just think this game means more for VMI. They're going to be amped up for this game. Colby kind of laid out the historic implications, but I think I think they beat I think they can still get the SoCon title if Mercer loses, but I think this is a win and get in spot for VMI. I think they're going to be amped up for this game. I don't know. Citadel, they've won two in a row, but they haven't looked amazing, and they've had some bad losses to their resume in this shortened season. So I'm off the Citadel, especially on the rub.
All right, so, but serious question: what are we going to do for the playoffs?
We got to do something big.
What do you mean? We're going to do a bracket and fill it out.
No, I know, but like, what else are we going to do?
Oh, I mean, we're going to have a big party here. We'll bring Patty.
Will they televise the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, ESPN, man, next Friday.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Come on, Selection Kramer. Sunday, ESPNU, 1 hour dedicated to this. All right,
I'm sorry.
They have an NFL Network hasn't even done 1 hour. All right, on
so
fucking
Sean, we Daniel agreed. Jones. We agreed on 4 of 6 picks. So good luck.
That's troubling. Well, what'll happen is you'll go
2-2.
You'll
get,
no, I mean, you have 6 picks. The 4 that we share, you'll get 2 right. Yeah. So I'll go 2-2 in those, but then I'll go 2-0 in the ones I'm fading you for a 4-2 record in the Coors Light 6 pack. So I feel good, you know, going 4-2. Formerly the Colby Dance 6 pack, RIP, the Colby Dance 6 pack. But when we throw the Colby Dance 6 pack out, we make sure to cut it up so we don't catch any fish in the 6 pack there. Couple bonus games: James Madison at home in Harrisburg, Virginia, laying 12.5 against the Richmond Spiders. Game of the week. We had to put this in. James Madison 4-0, Richmond 3-0. James Madison laying a whopping 12.5 points.
Hmm.
Interesting game here for a lot of reasons. I mean, JMU still figuring out their quarterback position. They're kind of going back and forth between senior Cole Johnson, junior Gage Maloney.
Gage. 12 Gage. That's a sweet first name.
That is a sweet nickname, 12 Gage. I don't know. To me, this is Richmond Super Bowl. I think giving them 12.5 points to this Spiders team, I think is kind of crazy. James Madison hasn't, they've looked really good. Then they've had some time off, but I mean, they're number one in the country for a reason, but I'm going to take Richmond in the points. I think it's too high.
If your name is Gage, your first name, which part of your body are you nicknaming 12 Gage?
Your arm.
Arm? Colby.
Look, this game, first off, I want to give a shout out to James Madison University. They did not need to play this game. This game was
put together. Opting in. You like that.
This was put together in the past week.
Yeah.
Right. And we saw all regular FBS college football season teams duck opponents. JMU was going to make the playoff regardless. They're the number one rated team in the country. Richmond was on the out. The Richmond tried to play them twice. There was COVID issues. But Richmond was not available to play. And JMU was not available to play both times this year. So JMU still goes ahead, schedules this game. And when they can potentially find themselves out of the playoffs by doing this, this is a balls up play by JMU. Love it.
Would they really find their way out?
Potentially, because Delaware can win the CAA if they beat Villanova. And then Richmond would have the tiebreaker on JMU. So
JMU would get an at-large bid, right?
Kind of feels like they're in regardless.
I don't know, because I think you can make the case. How many teams would you take out of the CAA then?
No,
you know what I mean.
Like, but I mean, you would take however many you need to get James Madison in.
Probably so. Yeah. I mean, they're probably thinking, okay, but if you're finishing third in your conference, you could make the case that they don't belong.
That's true. But I think James Madison's in regardless. And again, that's kind of why I like Richmond plus 12.5.
That's where I'm going. I feel
Kramer, you like James Madison.
No, I don't, because I know you're saying, like, why, obviously the motivation has to be there because they just set the game up.
I just love that they played the game. They didn't need to. They're in.
I know, but that's why they're just going to win and not cover the big number.
I'm with you. I'm on Richmond. Give me the points. But I just, I know.
Colby keeps trying to fake Ryan out and get him on the wrong side. I love it, Colby. I love it.
Well, dude, you gotta look.
No, I love what you're doing.
Spade here too, though. That's
Kramer's
awesome that
eyes start widening. Yeah. He starts thinking he's gonna go on your pick, and then
I was disappointed that he wanted Richmond. I thought he was gonna say JMU because I gave him the motivational angle.
But Colby was laying out the red carpet. Yeah. For James Madison
for every team
for the entire pick, and then
just set this game up.
Look, the last time they played though, JMU won 48-6. So, a little scary, but give me Richmond to and the points.
Last game of the slate, and then we will be we'll care about lock dog, a bonus lock, and talk to our buddy Rod. Little NASCAR action. South Dakota State, North Dakota State. No love loss here in the Fargo Dome. North Dakota State only laying a 1.5 against the Jackrabbits. You know my bias against South Dakota or North Dakota State, so I'm all over South Dakota State, regardless. Although North Dakota State kind of has gotten their shit together since they lost to the Salukis. They barely beat a Northern Arizona team, which they're much better than, 23-20 last week in Flagstaff. Possibly a look ahead game to this South Dakota State game. And South Dakota State, though, they've had a month off. So I think that could actually work against them, maybe with the rust. I'm going to lean into it the other way and say all they have has, they've just been looking at North Dakota State on the calendar this entire time. Kind of like that scene in Half Baked where he has Nasty Nate on the calendar and he keeps Xing him out. I imagine South Dakota State, they're going to be in a similar mindset. They put up 44 points without their best running back, Pierre Strong Jr. for SDSU. He's in this game. He's going to bring some physicality. I think they get up for this game. I don't know why they're not getting 3 points. That to me is terrifying, but I think the public will be on North Dakota State. I'm taking South Dakota State plus 1.5.
I mean, rust has been a problem all year.
Yeah. Right?
Like rust in football, rust in general, not playing for long stretches hasn't been good for any team at any point in time this entire fucking year. North Dakota State, less than a field goal, easy money. And I'll bury the lead. This is the lock.
Okay.
Well, look, I mean, this one is I'm all over South Dakota State, man. They've been the better team, the better offense all year. Mark Gronowski playing big. Jabari Gibbs out. Gronowski comes in looking great this year. And Sean hit on the running back points there. But another thing is this, come on, this is the Dakota Marker rivalry game.
Oh yes.
All right. So this is a big time game here. I think,
which is why being in the Fargo Dome matters.
It could be a preview of the national championship. We know North Dakota State's history, but look, Zeb Nolan, he's had a hard time offensively for the Bison and not
going to be a first round pick.
Not going to be a first round pick. Still could end up better than Carson Wentz, but no, I'm joking, but I think Wentz is going to have a good year. but no, South Dakota State Jackrabbits. I mean, I actually think they look like the best team in the FCS that I've seen thus far.
Well, and they are ranked 4th in the country, 4-1. So certainly not out of the realm of possibility. All right, let's do it. Lock, dog, and bonus lock.
Happy birthday.
Kramer, with the honors, you seem like you were tipping your hand saying North Dakota State was your lock.
Lock, North Dakota State. Dog, Bucknell.
Ooh,
damn it.
Will you be on the right side of history, Colby? And with my bonus lock, I really just don't think James Madison's going to come with a fuck ton of motivation, and I'm taking Richmond plus the points.
Ooh, the Spiders with the bonus lock for my lock. You guys are crazy fading this Alabama A&M team laying 4.5. That is way too low.
It's a Nick Cannon system pick.
There you go. Drumline, get in line. For my dog, oh, I'm really torn here. I want to go Villanova plus 6, but Kramer's also on Villanova. So I will go Southeast Louisiana money line.
I'm influencing everything now. Butterfly effect.
It is truly a butterfly effect. For my bonus dog, again, got to go against Kramer here. South Dakota State with the spite pick catching 1.5. They went outright. Let's go. Colby, what are you doing? Lock, dog, bonus lock.
I'm going to lock up South Dakota State, man. I think they're the better team. I really think they are the best team I've seen so far. Dog, look, I was going to be on Bucknell, but I'm not touching that now with a 10-foot pole, man. After Kramer did that. So I'll back you with the,
wait, what did I do to Bucknell that you don't want to touch Bucknell? Come on. We're on a team, bro.
No,
sometimes you bat second.
I can't do that right now. You are just cold.
Sometimes
activated.
You're on the cleaning crew.
Give me Sean, I'll go with your Southeastern Golden Lions.
All right.
For the bonus play here, look, you got to go with the Blue Hens. They're going to get it done. Minus 6.
Delaware minus 6 for the bonus lock.
Nice job, guys.
Nice job indeed. And we're going to get Rod on the line here. Talk a little NASCAR while we're firing up Rod. Let's talk a little about Riffer. Riffer, brand new to the program. Make sure you check them out. They're the home of micro podcasting. That's right. Podcasts that are under 3 minutes. Perfect way to just blast through a bunch of episodes. We got our own profile page over on there. Been giving out some lead pipe blocks. Again, free picks. Some of the stuff we don't even give out on the podcast, dropping exclusively over on our Riffer page. You can find us over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Riffer. That'll take you right to our profile. Of course, download the Riffer app, App Store, Google Play Store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Riffer. That's RIFFR. No E's for in this company. RIFFR Riffer. Today, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Riffer. Joining us on the line, he is a fantasy football expert, knows a little FCS football, and writer for our NASCAR picks over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, Rod Villagomez. Rod, what's happening, man?
So what you're saying is I have ADD, right?
Yes, exactly.
I love the versatility, like a nice five tool player. Going FCS, minor college football, right to the dirt, the short track, the dirt track. Come on, Rod. That's a nice that's a nice two-way player.
Well,
I love it. But also, let me say real quick, how are none of you guys on Mercer as the underdog this week?
I am, man. Well, yeah. Rod, you're a big FCS guy. If you had a pick, and I'm putting you on the spot here, lock dog, bonus lock, what are you liking so far this week?
So listen, I'm locking in that Mercer. I mean, I got to tell you, I don't know what the bookkeepers have against Mercer. Home underdogs again, please. And then a dog. How about that Mississippi Valley State? I know no one wants to touch them, but I have a little hope for them. And I'm giving away my article this week, so you listeners know now what's going on in my article. And a bonus tease. Ready for this one?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. A&M plus one.
Ooh. All right. Well, I like it.
Rod's already tipping his hand, but make sure to check out the article over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. It felt like a good time. Talk a little NASCAR. We haven't talked NASCAR here on the podcast in feels like forever, but perfect time. Talk a little NASCAR. What's the big event this week? Richmond Raceway. Walk us through what's going on. Like Kramer said, third consecutive short track. It's on dirt. What are we talking here?
Well, this one's not on dirt.
Okay,
although
completely
fans
wrong.
Fans want to throw dirt on it. That's fine. No. So they're traveling to Richmond from Martinsville, staying in Virginia for the race on the America's premier short track, by the way. It is the Toyota Owners 400. Give it up for just total sellout names. I absolutely love NASCAR for that.
No shame. Yeah.
And I, no shame.
Nothing wrong with that, as I enjoy a delicious ice cold Coors Light.
Hey,
no.
Never heard of that.
You mean Coors Light?
On the audio version, bleep that out. It'll be funny. Bleep all that out.
But no, we won't go there anymore. We're done. Coors is good. Yes. Anyways, it is the third short track in a row, 3/4 of a mile on the track, 400 laps. It's going to be a continuation of some very hot tempers. I got to tell you right now, when you put three short tracks in a row, there's some folks out there that have not played nicely together over the last couple of weeks that you're going to see maybe try to come back and have a little retaliation going on. So this could be a race.
And Rod, just to jump in there as a guy who hasn't bet a ton of NASCAR, or even watched a ton, it is fun. I mean, NASCAR is right up there with hockey, where the fights, when they happen, it's exciting. I gotta be honest. And if we can see a NASCAR fight, they're always fun. Guys jumping out of cars to beat the shit out of another guy.
And Sean, I'm sure you're from Pennsylvania. I'm sure you've been out to the Pocono track, maybe.
Yeah.
And anyone who's been out to the Pocono track has also visited the strip clubs in the Poconos. But the Pocono track, I mean, I remember this was my first experience with NASCAR. And as being from Jersey, closer to the city, didn't quite see the country folk, didn't get out past the Delaware water gap too much, if you know what I mean, Sean.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it. I saw a dude, he had a giant, like, off road wagon with a cooler in it. And that cooler on top of it had 6x3 30 packs of Busch Light. And I remember thinking, this is a fucking pretty cool sport. You can just bring your own beer into the event.
Like, well, and I mean, that is, again, NASCAR, one of the premier tailgating events. So if there are any listeners,
no, there's the whole thing's a tailgate.
Well, the listeners that like NASCAR, hit us up, because we're gonna be doing some traveling, and I think finding a NASCAR track to just post up at and get day drunk is definitely on the agenda.
I did some homework here though, and I'm curious your thoughts on Martin Trow. Is that how you say his name?
Spot on, dude. Spot on.
Trow, part of Joe Gibbs' race team. Joe Gibbs, inventor of the counter tray offense, and also the two tight end set. So what are we looking at Trow? What do you think his chances are of winning this thing? Because I'm going to put some heavy money on him.
Troll me right into it.
Your money on Trow is not well. It actually will be. A decent sized bet. Because here's the deal, man. Truex Jr. Has been an absolute terror on these short tracks over the last couple of seasons. You know, he had a ton of success at Martinsville. He actually won last week in Martinsville, had a good long run car, chased down Denny Hamlin, who had a good short run car. But, you know, he managed to do it there, and he's going to probably end up doing it here. He's starting on the pole. Right. The guy is the only two-time winner this season. He won both of these races back in 2019. So listen, if you're going to put a bet on a guy to win, you put one of the most powerful drivers on this track on the pole with 400 laps in front of him. There's a very, very, very good chance that he's going to end up as the winner at the end. And listen, he's a probably safer top five bet. You know, if you can find good odds for that, but I would feel comfortable with betting either one of those. Him to straight up win, or at least him in the top five this week.
It's just a shoo-in. Joe Gibbs run one of those Super Bowls with the Redskins. It's more money here. I mean, this guy's.
I'm sure as a big Gibbs fan, Colby, I'm sure you're aware of his son.
I am. Ty Gibbs is a beast, man. You know,
and I mean the odds though for him to win the race, Martin Truex Jr. I'm seeing like +350. Is he really that big of a favorite there? You think, Rod? Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, it absolutely makes sense. He's a huge favorite. In fact, again, like I said, the fact that he's on the pole. Now, I know that some of these lines came out before the qualifying actually happened. So I think you're lucky to still get those lines from the pole, because again, this guy, he's led so many laps at this track, over 500 at least in the last few years. So the dude absolutely owns this track, and to put him right up front, he's going to be the car to catch the entire day. I mean, he's probably going to get passed a few times here and there by some of these other drivers we'll talk about today, but I think by the end of it, he'll be in the thick of it. And like I said, more likely to pull out a win than not.
Well, and if he's the odds on favorite, who is like a fun dog, or who do you think has a chance of passing? And maybe, cause it's the same thing like golf. I really don't like betting the favorites, but if there's someone like 10-1, 15-1, what do you like in that range?
So I'm looking at a guy like Kyle Busch. He's starting in 10th. I'm not quite sure yet exactly what the odds. I think he's 10 to 1.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kyle Busch, he's got 6 career wins at this track, 23 top 10s and 30 career starts. He won both Richmond races in 2018. So the guy, he's starting in 10th this week. And it's just one of those situations where Kyle is going to be Kyle. And unless he gets in a wreck, unless he really has a terrible day, he's going to be up in the mix too. And again, with the huge possibility of pulling the thing out. So if you want to go somebody that's not Truex, you can probably dig back a little bit to Kyle Busch and maybe not hurt so much for it.
So let me ask you this, Rod, as a race buff myself, recently gotten into Formula One. I do think it's interesting, because it's not like golf where like you're not going to make your money betting on the winner every week. You're going to be betting, you know, top whatevers. Maybe you're doing something with the manufacturer, the owner. So I guess I wanted to ask Rod, like what's the strategy when we're attacking these bets? Obviously, is it matchups? Are we looking to play matchups? One of the things I'm liking this year with Formula One is taking a first retirement prop every time, first car to wreck. Basically. So where are you, like, what is the strategy when you're attacking these races?
So you can do a couple of different things. And again, you're right. Betting the winner every week, it'll have you pulling your hair out. We had seven different winners to start the season. Like I said, Truex was the only guy so far that's won two races this season. So when you're betting on winners, I mean, you really have to know above heads. And the first few winners were folks that probably nobody would even bet on, you know, Bell and all these guys that you don't necessarily see at the top. So you're right. You're right, Kramer. When you bet these, you should probably start betting top fives, top tens. I like to do the group bets where, you know, the player that, or the driver that finishes the highest in the group, those are good bets to make as well. Although, man, I got to tell you, bookmakers do a really good job of grouping these guys together because there's some very little separation in some of these guys.
Well, and a guy that you, of course, these are fun. These are probably, you know, responsible ways to bet NASCAR.
But hashtag Degens only.
Alert. You have a driver listed down here to talk about in the notes. Austin Cindric. I pulled up his odds. He's 250-1. Does he have a chance to actually win this thing? Or are you just you're probably endorsing maybe a top 10, but get a little taste in that 250-1. What would have to happen for Austin to pull this out? Because 250-1, now we're talking.
37 cars would have to be DNF that day. No, I'm just kidding. And listen, so as I said in the notes, right, this kid, he won the Xfinity championship last season in 2020. He's not a bad driver overall. And in fact, the only reason that he's making as few starts as he is in the Cup Series this year is because, you know, they have limited sponsorship for him to roll out these races. He hasn't done that badly, I guess, if you want to say badly, but for more for DFS standards, he hasn't done that badly in these races so far. But look, he owns pretty much this Xfinity series. He's got 5 out of 6 top 10 finishes, you know, in the Xfinity series. So, you know, it's not a bad thing to try to throw a little bit of money on him. Maybe not. I mean, look, don't go crazy and bet the farm on him winning. But if you're really truly a degen that loves nothing more than to bet long odds, he's a guy that you can go ahead and bet. But I think if you put him more in a top 15 finish, top 10 finish, he may have that kind of car. You know, he's finished 20th in the last couple of races that he's been in the Cup Series. So I guess the top 15 is not that far out of the realm of possibility if he has a good run.
Well, and when you're breaking down betting on NASCAR in general, do you start with the driver, then look at the car, then the track? Like what's kind of like the handicapping formula?
Well, this season it's kind of felt like a little tough just because of the fact that there's no qualifying, there's no practices, there's really not a whole lot to go off of. So what you're doing when you're breaking down NASCAR this season, especially, is you're looking at past track history. You know, you're looking at where the driver is. Cause listen, you drive to work every day. Well, maybe you don't, I don't either. So, those of you that drive to work every day,
the commuters out there,
you have your favorite routes, right? And you know them like the back of your hand, and you know that there's certain places that you go that you feel more comfortable with maybe closing your eyes for 10 minutes and letting, you know, I wouldn't suggest it, but you know, whatever. But that's the same thing with these drivers, right? They know these tracks like the back of their hands, and you know that there's drivers that actually produce better on certain tracks. So you go that route and then you just kind of look around and see how they're doing that season. Again, it's hard to do this season with no qualifying because look, practices and qualifying is where you find out how they're doing right that second. And so without that, you're really going off of history and hoping they get the same setup they did when they were successful at that track.
You know, I was going to use the Mario Kart example of, you know, some tracks I'm just going to wreck you. Like I wreck my kids just because I know it. I got the line. I got the racing line down, and it is what it is. So I totally understand the track. I found also with Formula One, there is a nice combination between like the driver's track history, but also like the team's history, because there is something to that. I'm learning a lot about car. I'm not a car guy, and it's funny because like I've started to wonder, like should I dip the toe into NASCAR? I know there's been a couple times over the years where I want to betting on Old Smoke, Tony Stewart, to win a race here and there, and it's something odd for whatever reason, like Formula One and NASCAR, it's like almost the same thing, but it seems like it's nothing the same, and I don't know what it is. I've been to like 3 NASCAR races in my life, Sean.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
It's a fun event.
I don't know why I haven't gone back for more. I don't know what it is. Perhaps post pandemic real money Kramer can also add professional NASCAR tout to his repertoire.
I got another guy that I like, Sheldon Creed. All right, Sheldon Creed, love Apollo Creed. Sheldon Creed here.
I knew there was a Rocky tie.
We should see what's
cue the Rocky music. And look, this guy, and it's also kind of the Days of Thunder story. This guy's from California, and here he is racing. And he hasn't won yet this year. What are the odds? And what do you like, Sheldon Creed, in this race? I mean, what are the odds in your mind?
I hope he's not even racing.
You know, in fact, if you look at the qualifying, there is no Sheldon Creed in this lineup.
Yes.
I don't want to burst your bubble.
I'll take your Sheldon Creed action. So
the real lesson here is, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't switched the camera.
What is this?
Sometimes Colby Dant, less is more.
It's 2021, right? This is 6 hours ago. I'm reading this.
Let's do it. All right. What else?
Entry list.
What's next?
Well,
Sean?
Rod,
take us back to the ice cold Rockies.
It feels like it's a good time to wrap things up. Do you have a lock? Do you have a play of the day, play of the race? What do you got for us as far as what you feel best about going into the Toyota Owners 400?
Well, look, if you want to, I think a decent bet for you, if you can find it, I know PointsBet does have it, is bet the whatever the odds are for you, whatever the line is for you, that the car that wins is 4 and under. That's usually a bet out there because that encompasses not only Martin Truex, but it also encompasses Brad Keselowski. It encompasses Kyle Larson. It encompasses Kevin Harvick. All four of these guys basically have a possibility. In fact, if you think about it, Austin Dillon may even be in the mix too there with the three car, but you have three chances to win that bet. And that's a fun little bet to make because you're not tying it to just one driver.
I like that. Cause in the same way, with like golf DFS where you put like four or five guys in there and you kind of have some rooting interest. That sounds like a good play. While you were talking though, I just threw $50 on Austin Cindric. So let's go. #DGens only.
And can I make a recommendation if you're looking to have a nice race weekend?
Sure.
There is a Formula One Grand Prix in the morning. So if you want to get up with me, I will be in Slack mixing it up. Maybe watching a little GP action.
Maybe Creed's racing in that.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Well, appreciate you calling in, Rod. Make sure you follow Rod on Twitter at RJ Villa Gomez, VILLAGOMEZ. Check out all his awesome writing and blogs, picks over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, Stack of the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
Have a great weekend, Sean.
Kramer, let it ride.